Ben Wickler is kind enough to join us. He is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Many people on the network have already heard him. He's you might have heard of him up in Minneapolis-St. Paul here. He is kind enough to join us today to talk about the status of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. Ben, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Matt, delighted to join you today, to be here with your listeners at a critical moment in the history of the fight for democracy in the United States of America. That's what's on the line in Wisconsin's governor's race, the Senate race, the House race in Western Wisconsin, and our state legislative races. Pretty much at every level, the battle is fully joined. So couldn't think of a better moment to talk to you.
Ben, I got to tell you the truth. I want to give you a lot of kudos because I think that was a lot of people had written Wisconsin off back in 2020. You became the chair there June of 2019. You looked at Wisconsin. You say this should not be a Republican state. I was in Eau Claire in 2016. And one of the things that really started making me think, oh, my God, could Trump actually win, was going past Eau Claire High School. And someone had put a Trump logo over their mascot. And I'm like, really? Is this guy really resonating? A millionaire billionaire is all of a sudden inspiring a bunch of people who are, you know, in rural America that this is where this is going. It was a travesty that he did win. And yet you looked at this and said, that's not going to happen a second time in Wisconsin. Nicely done there.
Thank you. And I will say this was a giant team effort. We had tens of thousands of people volunteering, pouring their hearts in, hundreds of people on our team, on the campaigns team. So a huge group effort, but on behalf of everybody who made it their job to make sure Trump lost Wisconsin in 2020, I appreciate your kind words.
And by the way, for all you sore loser Republicans out there, breaking news, Donald Trump still did lose Wisconsin, just FYI. Ben, let's talk about the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And what we have seen, 538 nationally, has clearly pointed out this seems to be a 10-point swing across the country. Is that what you're seeing in Wisconsin, that the taking away women's rights has definitely made the Republican Party far more toxic?
I mean, we're in a midterm with a Democratic president, and historically that spells terrible, terrible news. And instead, we're in basically a dead heat in both the governor's race and the Senate race in Wisconsin this year. So, you know, a lot can happen in the next 43 days. But where we stand right now, there are people that are so furious. And look specifically at Ron Johnson. This is a guy who declared victory, celebrated the victory after the Supreme Court made its ruling, who put these people on the bench, who sponsored 8 different national abortion bans as a senator. And this is really a referendum on whether you want senators who take away your freedoms or who expand your freedoms. And I, you know, we're kind of a pro-freedom state in the state of Wisconsin.
It does seem like this is the reawakening of what I like to call the Reagan Republicans, the guys that used to be fiscally conservative and socially liberal. And I know a lot of moderate Republicans who are like, you know, between the January 6th, and I'll get to Johnson here in a second, between the January 6th attempted overthrow of our government, as well as also the overturning of Roe v. Wade, that they're done. Now, whether that does translate, it remains to be seen. But we've already seen in Wisconsin that the shine is off the apple in regards to Republicans, as we pointed out with the 2020 election. I mean, are you running into moderate Republicans or are like, I'm done, I'm going with the Democrats this time?
Absolutely. I mean, you talk to any county Democratic Party chair, they'll tell you there are Republicans, sometimes the former Republican county party chair is reaching out to them and saying, I've had enough. There's so many people who never thought Republicans would actually do what they've now done. And this is a shocking moment. They've ripped the Band-Aid off. And in Wisconsin, there was a law passed in 1849. Now, most people don't spend a lot of time digging around in 19th century Wisconsin law, but that law was an almost total ban on abortion. No exception for rape or incest. It starts at 0 weeks. The only exception is if 2 doctors say that it's necessary to save the life of the mother. And that law, I mean, our governor and our attorney general are suing right now to knock it out, Tony Evers and Josh Call. But it's basically in effect right now and could be officially in effect for the long term if Republicans get their way. So there's 2 ways to beat this thing. One of them is to reelect Governor Evers and Attorney General Call and defeat this law in court. It should not be in effect, but every hospital is terrified about, you know, having doctors thrown in jail if the courts rule the wrong way on this. The other way is to elect Mandela Barnes to the U.S. Senate instead of Ron Johnson and get the 52nd vote that we need to be able to, you know, move the filibuster aside and turn Roe versus Wade into law. It's actually our other senator, Tammy Baldwin, who's the lead on the Women's Health Protection Act. Mm-hmm. Ron Johnson said a couple of years ago, if people didn't like the abortion laws in their state, His quote was, "You can move." This is a guy who's so incredibly kind of thoughtless and heartless about something. You know, like, people have kids and family members and jobs and whole lives in Wisconsin. He has no regard for them whatsoever. And we have seen him over and over support a national abortion ban, proposal. So this is not someone that you want representing our state in this moment, when people are experiencing, you know, clinics are shutting down. People are being turned away for care, even when they're not pregnant, because abortion, you know, the term refers to a medical procedure that's used after miscarriages, and it's, you know, used in all kinds of situations. So it's really the worst case scenario underway right now in Wisconsin, and Ron Johnson is refusing to lift a finger about it. And this is the time for him to get out of the way.
Ron Johnson's a human dumpster fire. I mean, he's a brick with lips, with a bag of cats as a head. We have to put aside not only this and his glee at taking away women's rights, but I always think of that line from Arrested Development: "I might have engaged in a slight bit of treason." This is a man who had tried to overthrow the government of the United States. He's been implicated as part of this, and all he has is, well, pointing fingers at anyone else, when it's clear that he was a linchpin in the attempt by Trump to overthrow the government and stay in power. There comes a time where you look at it, a lot of places where there's a strong Republican turnout in Wisconsin, where for decades they've been voting for Republicans. And what has it gotten them? Dairy farms are disappeared. The agricultural sector has been annihilated. Small towns are getting wiped out. People are moving away. Every time the Republicans have not delivered for them, and yet they're still going to go out and force and vote for this guy, even though he tried to overthrow the government and he's against women's rights.
The thing about Johnson, he's the same playbook every election, which is to try to distract and divide people from what he's actually done. He's running a million ads right now trying to scare people about a Democratic nominee. And if you take a look at Ron Johnson himself, he didn't have a word to say about defending law enforcement on January 6th. He said that the people who were beating up police officers with an American flag on the Capitol steps were largely peaceful, and they were patriots who love their country and love law enforcement. That's what he said.
Yes.
And I will not take any guff from this guy on the question of how to keep America safe, protect our communities, when he is running so far to the extremes, goosing the insurrectionists, and then was personally trying to hand off fake electors to Mike Pence. He, just like the may have committed some light treason,
yes,
he said, "I was only involved for a few minutes."
Yeah, just a few seconds.
In the attempt to overthrow the government of the United States. And then he said it was 3 seconds. There's no 5-second rule on treason. Sorry, buddy. It just doesn't work that way. You either are for, you know, our flag and our Constitution, or you're not. And what we know is, the more people know about Ron Johnson, the less they like the guy. The more people find out what he's done, the fact that his giant legislative accomplishment was insisting on a special tax break that benefited himself and his biggest donors. That was his condition for voting for Trump's big tax scam. He's doubled his net worth while he's in office. He gave $215 million to two people in a single year in a giant tax giveaway. And, you know, newsflash, I don't think your listeners or me or any of us or any of those two people, this is someone who's just out for himself and the people who bankroll his campaigns, and not for the public. And it is time to show him the door.
And we got Baldwin, Wisconsin, Amy Klobuchar, Tina Smith in Minnesota. One of the things about a U.S. senator is that when someone walks in their door and says, "I need help on the U.S. senatorial level," they drop things. It's not about who you voted for. It's not about the size of your bank account. You help these people. That is one of the things that is clear. In your mind, if anyone but a wealthy Republican voter walked into Ron Johnson's office, would he help them?
Think about the parents whose kids have diabetes and they have to choose between buying groceries for their family or providing enough diabetes to keep their kids alive. I know that these families have reached out to Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson voted against capping the cost of insulin. He voted against allowing drug companies to negotiate the price of prescription drugs in Medicare. You know that he interacts with seniors all the time who have to choose between the roof over their heads and the medicine that they need to stay healthy and alive. He voted against them too. Thank God we had the votes to beat him on that. He is one of only seven senators in the entire Senate who voted against the ban on surprise medical bills. If you've ever gotten a surprise medical bill, I can't imagine a single constituent who's not part of the special interest that benefits from this stuff who contacted him and said that they wanted him to vote against banning surprise medical bills. But he shills for his special interest contributors every single day of the week. And it's such a insult to the idea of democracy that it's not a surprise that he didn't really want to support a system of democratic government when he had the chance. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who, you know, he's been in the Senate for 2.5 terms. He's turned into the kind of creature of Washington that the Tea Party movement kind of proclaimed that it was against.
Ben, if I can step in really quick here, we got to take a break. I definitely want to continue this conversation, so please hold on if you can. Ben Wickler is kind enough to join us, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. We are going to take a break along the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be back in just a moment.
I want my eyebrow, I'm right, I'm raising overhead. I never promised you.